Yeah, so got a little PowerPoint to go with the sermon today just to put some thoughts on a visual as we open God's Word. I'm going to talk today about seeing in the Spirit, and really I just pray that God's Spirit really does reveal to us how incredibly awesome it is when we are in tune with Him. To be able to truly hear from Him, to be able to truly see with His eyes, and just how powerful that is and how much it's needed in the day we live in, for our own lives, for our own families, and for those around us as well. And so as I was preparing this message, I put this cartoon up because here's the thing that came to my mind. In a business, whenever an entrepreneur, a business person, sees a need on the horizon, Chet, you know, like in business school, sees the need coming, and then because they see that need, they create a product and then position that product so that when the need begins to be manifest, they're already there with it. And that equals success, right? Well, the truth is, in our day, the day we're living in, this time, in this place, and we know from Acts that we are here for a reason, for a purpose. We're born to this generation. We're born at this time. We're placed in this place for a reason. In this day that we're living in, times that we are living in are indeed crazy. There's lots of words I could use, but crazy will suffice for the purpose of the message. And I was listening to a man who operates very powerfully in God's Spirit, just in preparation with this message today. And one of the things that he spoke just jumped out at me as I heard those words. And he said this is a quote from him: times are as they are to create an appetite for God. Well, just let that settle in just for a second, because I really want to build the message around that thought. Times are as they are to create an appetite for God. Now, you've had a hunger for certain things, right? And sometimes you just get downright hungry, period. And the truth is that when everything is going just wonderful in people's lives, it's then that they have the tendency to forget about their need for God. So we're seeing things happening in our country and around the world that people don't even understand, that look troublesome at the very least. And I really believe that this word is for us, that times are as they are to create a hunger for God. Amen? Yeah. No, we have to be careful, because Kim and I we're old enough to have lived through what we would call the hyper-faith movement, where there was this philosophy that you could name it and claim it. And I don't know, some of you would remember those days as well. And they were dangerous times, and times that left a lot of people wanting. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, we're not God, and we're not the one who dictates to God what He does. Amen? Now, God is good all the time, but the name it and claim it philosophy, I'm afraid, really just got out ahead of God's Spirit and got into the flesh. You know what I mean? It got very fleshy. What I mean by that is that people really just look to God for things other than what they really needed. Do you hear that word? What they really needed. I put this scripture up because it's a passage of scripture that tells us that things were the same when Jesus walked upon the earth as well. There was a time right before this passage of scripture when Jesus, it was one of the times when He fed the thousands of people that gathered. You remember, with just a few loaves and fishes. And after He had fed these thousands of people, it says that they wanted to just name him king right then. You know, if he can do this, let's put him on the throne. And Jesus, knowing that, it says he left by the darkness of night. He left. He actually got in the boat and he went across the lake. And when they woke up and they found Jesus gone, well, it was like their meal ticket just kind of left. And so they went looking for him. And they actually found him over in Capernaum. And as the crowds began to gather yet again, Jesus spoke these words. He said, I tell you the truth in verse 26. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He was putting it out there just as it is, right? He says, you know, it'd be one thing to seek true miracles from God that you really need to do a work inside of you and bring you life, but you just are following me because I fed your belly. You see? It's the only reason you're coming back, because I fed your belly. Now, for those of you that are thinking this right now, I'm not denying that when a man is hungry, or a woman, like you're on a mission trip and they're starving people, that there are times when you need to feed them physically in order to be able to speak to them spiritually. That's not what I'm talking about here. And that's not what was going on at the time of Jesus. You see, the reality is they had spiritual needs that Jesus needed them to see. And all they could see is, hey, I'm getting hungry again. Hey, I had that good meal. How about another one? And so Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, of which the Son of Man will give you. Willingly, he wanted to give them what they really needed. And later on in this passage, he says, I am the bread of life. He says, you know, your forefathers ate manna from heaven. But I'm the bread that came down from heaven, that if someone partakes of me, truly receives me, they'll live forever. I'm the bread of life, he said. But their eyes were only on the bread that spoils, right? And he wanted to lift their sights to see the better. To see the better. God is always trying to do that in our lives. Have you noticed? He's always trying to lift our eyes to see the better. You know what I mean? To see the better things that he has for us, for those who would seek him, for those who would really want him. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, a light that shines in the darkness, like John 8 and 12 says. You know, there has never been a time more than today when we need the light of God's revelation in our lives to reveal to us what really is going on in us, in our families, in our country, in our world. We need the light of revelation. And you see, what people are seeing is darkness, right? And as I was thinking about that, the passage came to me in the book of Exodus when, do you remember the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians? One of the plagues that he brought upon the Egyptians was darkness. Darkness. But the amazing thing that's mentioned in this passage of scripture, the part I have underlined here, is that even though no one could see even anyone else for the 3 days, they weren't able to leave their place. Read with me the end of this scripture. It said, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that darkness covered the land of Egypt, but God saw fit that light was there where his people were. That's amazing. You know, the Psalms tell us, this is a beautiful psalm. I found a picture of it. It's in the King James. It says, They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasure. For with you is the fountain of light, life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. You see, it is in the light of God's presence that we see clearly. It's in the light of God's presence that we discern what's going on in ourselves and in others. And we need that so desperately, because then and only then will we turn to the one who can fill those needs. Will we lead people to the one who can feed them the bread of life? Amen? The living Word of God. Now, I want you to see in Hebrews what the living Word of God can do. You know this passage of Scripture. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges. Now, read this now. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay, so Jesus is the Word of God, right? And when you invite Jesus into your heart, where is the Word of God? In your heart. And the Word of God in your heart, it judges, right? It discerns. It reveals. It shows you even the motives of your heart. And that's a good thing to see, because otherwise the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says. But when you got the Spirit of God, He can begin to reveal to you what's going on, what you need. And not only what you need, but listen to me carefully, what the people around you need as well. What your family needs. What your kids need. Right? Because you're going to be able to see them as God sees them. Teachers. What a gift to be able to look at students and see them as God sees them. Amen? To see them as God sees them. You see, this is what God wants to gift us with. The ability to see with spiritual eyes, Chad, to see how He sees people. What a powerful thing it is when we can see how God sees. Just like He did with the woman at the well. You know, you know this passage of Scripture, but I want you to see it with new eyes today, okay? In John chapter 4, this is the passage when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. He'd been ministering and traveling now for a while, from early morning till the heat of the day, and he comes to a town in Samaria named Sychar. It says, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So tired as he was from the journey, Jesus sits down by the well. Noontime in Palestine can be a hot and dry place. So there at the foot of Mount Gerizim, which is where the Samaritans worshiped, Jesus finds a Samaritan woman coming to draw water from the well. Now, I got to tell you, no woman in their right mind would come out at noon in the heat of day to draw water from this well. That was done in the early morning hours and in the late afternoon or early evening hours. You didn't engage in lifting heavy buckets of water when the sun was at its hottest. So why was this woman coming out? Why was this woman coming out? Well, the answer to that really kind of reveals the message of this passage of Scripture. So when she comes out, Jesus begins the conversation, which, by the way, would have been scandalous. You know, it would have been scandalous. First of all, you know, a man to engage a woman in conversation that was alone without her husband. But yet, this was not just any woman. This was a Samaritan woman, and Jews and Samaritans did not talk. They didn't particularly like each other. the Samaritans were called, you know, the half-breeds, that when they got carried away to by the Assyrians, they intermarried. The Assyrians actually encouraged that. And so when they moved back to resettle, they really just, you know, were no longer what the Jews considered pure Jews. And so they continued to do things that Jews really resented, like instead of going down to Jerusalem where the temple was, you know, they created their own altar up there on Mount Gerizim. And they began to worship not God, but anything. And they turned away from God. That's what happened to the Samaritans that caused them to be carried off in the first place. And so this engagement was our Lord opening up a whole new way, a whole new revelation. Because I got to tell you that God never intended the Jews to be bigots. Come on. God never intended the Jews to be so puffed up and full of pride that they thought they were the only ones. Sure, we know, we read in the Scriptures they were God's chosen people, but when you go back to how they were created from Abraham, it was supposed to be through them that all the nations of the world would be blessed. And you see, one of the things that happened wrong in the nation of Israel when it started getting myopic, when it started just getting, you know, it's all about us. God never wanted that to happen. No more than He wants the church to have that same attitude. It's all about us. It's the same mentality that loses sight of God's bigger picture. Jesus came to reveal God's bigger picture. He really did. Jesus came to show us the true heart of God. And so what does He do? He goes into Samaria, to the land of the so-called outcasts. And He meets a woman. Now, not just any woman, and not just any Samaritan woman. When He engaged her in conversation, He asks her for a drink. Now, she's pretty much astounded because, you know, she even says, "How is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan, for water?" And Jesus answers her, "If you would have known who is asking you, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." See what He's doing once again? Same thing right with the bread. He's trying to get a message across about people's true needs and how He can see it. I want you to see something here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus was looking into her heart, where other people just looked at her lifestyle. Jesus looked at her heart. Amen? When He gets to the point, you know, where He says to her, "Go call your husband." Immediately she responds, "I have no husband." But do you know what Jesus does? Operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaks into her life and says, "You're right that you have no husband. In fact, you've had five, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband." And so she takes a step back, so would you, and all of a sudden she says, "I see that you are a prophet." Yeah, not just any prophet, by the way, ma'am. So she gets nervous. Do you ever notice that, you know, if you, operating in the sensitivity of God's Spirit, you know, are called by God to begin to speak to somebody, speak into their life, and God will do that with you, right? That's part of this message. I want you to see that God wants to gift us with the same kind of discernment in the day we're living in, to be able to make us the ministers that He wants us to make, to be able to look in people the way He sees people, and to be able to speak into their lives and change their lives. When Jesus does this, you know, when he lifts the curtain of her past, naturally she gets nervous, right? People are going to get nervous when you start speaking into their life, even though you're speaking the truth in love, right? Which is what we're called to do. People start to get nervous because why? Because you're revealing something that they have been hiding. But you see, Jesus is doing this in a way so that he can minister to her true need. So she tries to divert him, which is also natural, right? And make it about, well, you Jews say that we need to worship in Jerusalem, but, you know, we Samaritans, you know, think we can worship here. Jesus will not be diverted on his purpose. When he's looking into your heart, when he wants to help you, or he wants you through his Spirit to help others, he won't let you be diverted, amen? He speaks right back to this woman and he says, listen, let me tell you like it is. There's coming a day, and it's really upon us now, when true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and truth. In other words, he takes that right off the table, you see? He takes her diversion of wanting to set up this whole... It was an ancient argument. And see, she wanted him to get into that so he'd stop looking at her heart. You see what I mean? She wanted him to engage in that long feud between Jews and Samaritans when Jesus said, uh-uh. Have this ever happened to you when you're talking to somebody, you start getting close, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they start squirming, you know, the Spirit of God is moving upon them and they don't know exactly what to do yet. Yet your eyes are eyes of love, but they want to divert the conversation. They want to change the topic, right? And Jesus says, come on. Come on, don't make it about that. The fact is that there's a time coming when God is going to tell everyone that true worship is worship by my Spirit in your heart, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. And so Jesus begins to come back to her. And as he is able now to speak to her and ask about this husband business and opening up the fact that he knows, and he elevates the conversation again, the woman finally says, okay, I know you're seeing something, and I know you're onto something, but the fact is I know from the scriptures that one day the Messiah will come. And he'll explain this all to us. And then we'll know the truth. Now, this is the only time in Scripture when Jesus was walking upon the earth, when he came out and said these words. When she said, I know when the Messiah comes, he'll explain this to us. He says to her, he who is speaking to you is the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. Isn't it interesting that of all the people he could have picked in the days, the 30-some years that he lived upon this earth, he chose to speak those powerful words to a woman that the world had thrown away? Amazing. Now you see, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. I who speak to you. You know, by the way, this is just a little sidebar, Doug, before we go into slide 13. You know, she saw the disciples coming back, and after she heard these words, she went running to her town. And when she did, she couldn't contain herself. She kept saying, you got to come see this man who told me everything I ever did. You know. And she got so excited about it that she actually, now this is pretty amazing. Now, how does a woman with that kind of reputation get people to believe her? She manages to bring the whole town out. You see, no one can deny an authentic, life-changing experience. This woman, they knew something happened. There was no denying it. And as a result of it, they came. And as they began to hear Jesus themselves, they urged him to stay, and he did. For 2 more days, Jesus came to the Samaritans, spoke into their lives, and brought salvation to the outcasts. All because he could look into a heart and see its true need, to uncover it in love and speak into her life. Amen? Now, I want you to know that God wants every Christian to be filled with His Spirit and to be able to do the same thing. I really do. I really believe that God wants to show us that by His Spirit, for example, we can look at our children and we can begin to call them what they are, what God sees them. Amen? Our grandchildren, Chet. We can begin to see them with the eyes of God and begin to speak into their lives, their destiny, their God-given destiny. I believe husbands can do that with their wives and wives to their husbands. You know, this world gets so busy and we get tired. And we sometimes just seem like all we can do is just get by. You know, it's just, it seems consuming just to get through the day and, you know, get done with work and get done with housework and get done with the kids. And we're dog tired. And as a result of it, we're not looking at others with the eyes of God. Instead, we get in the flesh, and in our tiredness, we begin to speak to our spouses, for example, with words that aren't inspired by God's Spirit. You know, we need so desperately to breathe in God's Spirit and to breathe out His words to those that are around us. To really be able to see the way He sees. Husbands, you know, to see your wives when they come home tired. And to be able to see their hearts and know how to minister to them. Wives, same way, to know that when your husband is working so hard and he comes home and all he needs is a word of encouragement, that word from you can mean so much. You know, Paul, he's raising the bar for us guys. These flowers, I don't know. I mean, it's just flowers here, flowers there. I mean, that, you know, I'm seeing on Facebook, Susie's happy about it, of course. Well, yeah, she's happy about it. And I'm thinking, okay, my wife's looking at this too. So, boy, I'm telling you, the bar's going up here. And I'm thinking I'm doing all right. But come on, Paul, you know, slow down. Pace yourself, brother. Pace yourself. It's a long race. But I'm telling you, these words that God can give you to speak into one another's lives, in your workplaces, I'm telling you now, I don't know why I'm picking on teachers, but I guess because of school starting, but I really believe that this word is for our teachers as well. You know, very much so. That, you know, there you are, you're going to be surrounded by new kids, and And teachers that don't want to be there, right? Right? Come on. I'm not saying that you don't, although maybe that's true too. But you know, the thing is that there you have the Spirit of God in you. And you can look at hearts, whether it be other teachers or truly your students, and speak into their lives, making a difference. Do you receive that? Are you receiving that today, that you can just look at kids the way God sees them? Amen? This verse in 1 Corinthians, you've seen this before, right? It's hard to read, actually, there. But this is the passage where it gets quoted a lot in funerals, but it was never intended to be a funeral passage. You know, it starts out when Paul says, "We, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." You know, it goes on to talk about that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And I like to use that passage of Scripture when I'm doing a funeral because I'm thinking that, yeah, I can think of good things about heaven, but it's better than I can ever imagine. But the passage really is about how today, in the living, we can see in the Spirit. We can see with the eyes of God's Spirit. Amen? So here's our prayer. God, give me your eyes so that I can see. That I can see the things that are going on in my life, the things that are going on in me. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me the eyes of your Spirit. Help me to be in tune with you. Amen? Fill me anew and allow to operate in me your gifts, right? Some of you are familiar with the gifts of the Spirit, right? Well, I'm telling you, there's a need for the gifts to be restirred in the church today. There really is. I was talking to the Lord about this, and I'm kind of getting ready to wrap up with this. I said, "Lord, why isn't this happening today? Why isn't the church kind of, you know, rising to the occasion of our times? Why aren't Christians, you know, seeing with your eyes, when all I see around is Christians responding the same way everybody else is responding that doesn't have God's Spirit? Why, Lord? Why?" And I really felt God saying that, you know, one of the reasons is that many have abused the gifts of the Spirit. Many have abused the gifts of the Spirit for show and for pride. And God says, "No, no, no, I cannot have that right now. Now is the time for the authentic. Now is the time for the authentic." I heard that loud and clear. I really did. God saying, "This is the time for the authentic. The world needs to see the real deal. The world needs to see the authentic. Not people that are doing it for the wrong reasons, right? Authentic Christianity. Authentic people who don't claim to be holier than thou, who don't claim to be better than you, but people who are really seeking God. And as a result of that, are beginning to see with His eyes and have His heart of compassion and being able to minister as a result of it. The authentic, right? The authentic. The authentic comes through those, to those and through those who are keeping themselves in communion with God through that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, seeking Him, recognizing Him, right? You know that passage of Scripture, Psalm 63, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." How about that passage that speaks about the pearl of great price? It's time, church, that we start seeing how being in communion with God this way, seeking Him and finding Him, being filled with His Spirit and being in tune with His Spirit is the pearl of great price. It's time, church, when we start to prioritize this kind of relationship with God, that we are in tune and we are able to be the people He's called us to be, taking our place in the day we are called to live and being true salt and light to the world, speaking into people's lives because we see with God's eyes. We see the way He sees, and we respond the way He responds. It comes when we're willing to seek. Amen? It comes when we're willing to value our relationship with God as the pearl of great price. It comes when we see how good it can be and we want it. And we're willing to take the time to get it. Amen? Prioritizing that intimate relationship with God. Oh, Pastor, you just got done saying that we're too busy. Yeah, I know. There was a great saint of God who was used mightily by God in a great revival in our country. And when he got busy, do you know what he said? He said, when I knew I was having a busy day, and this guy preached 12 times a day, he said, I got up a couple hours earlier. Now I'm really meddling, right? But the point is he knew that seeking God was so needed. I was telling Kim, you know, that, and you know me, you heard me last week say that, you know, here I am, I said I'm prioritizing exercise because I want to stay healthy and all that stuff. And so this week the Lord put me on my back, you know. Missed a day of work, so sick. But in that time, you know what? I was alone with God all day long, talking to Him. And I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful experience. And I heard Him say to me, this is what you've been missing. You know, you take an hour and you go work out, but how much time you giving me? I mean, truly giving me. Well, yeah, Lord, I get up, I read the Word. But He says, how much time are you really spending in that kind of intimate relationship building, prayerful communion with me? I heard Him. And I said, Lord, I miss this. I miss how wonderful it is when I get close to You like this. See, I forgot what I was missing. You see what I mean? It's worth it. I know it's hard to carve time out. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. God needs you and me to do it, that He can work in us and then through us. Amen? Well, listen, I want to close in prayer, but I think I would be wrong if I didn't, in prayer, offer the opportunity for a response to this message today. And I just dug it. On YouTube, there's a song that's called Give Me Your Eyes. Give me your eyes. Give me your eyes. I'd just like you to find that. You already got it. He's the man. And I would just like you to join me in that prayer today. Lord, give me your eyes. And how about in two ways, as we open our heart to Him, to see our own need and allow God to minister to that. And to also say, I'm willing, Lord, and wanting to be able to see others with Your eyes as well. Amen? Let's stand and pray.